Hi, everybody. It's February 15th, 2017. This is the Courtroom Observer conference call, and Terry and I were having a discussion about his illegal, unlawful eviction out of his own property. So, Terry, you want to kind of talk about that a little more?
Yeah, it was a conspiracy involving several judges and the prosecutor. And the funny thing about it is, and it's not ha-ha funny, but is that by having done this, and what I did was I filed papers against everything that they did. So there's a paper trail all the way up to New Jersey Supreme Court. So not only did they evict me unlawfully, and in violation of the laws of New Jersey, they also removed my siblings as potential co-executors. And what they did is they appointed one of their hand-picked lackeys, who just happened to be the president of the Bergen County Bar Association, the county that I live in. And by the way, and he's supposed to have a fiduciary responsibility as administrator of the estate, not to waste the estate. But that's exactly what he did. He started, you know, because what I did is I ended up filing a civil rights lawsuit in federal court against him and the judges who evicted me illegally. And what happened is he started taking money from the estate. They eventually sold the property, okay? And the property, the reason why I didn't want to sell it right away, my brother didn't want to sell it right away because it needed work and had a broken septic system, you know. And so, but my sister, who's a desperate loser, wanted to get her grubby hands on the money from the estate right away. So she was pushing to evict me and sell the estate. So that's, so what happened was the administrator came in. And actually he sold it, and then he started using money after from the estate to defend himself against my civil rights lawsuit against him and the judges who illegally evicted me. And he did this without authorization, without even asking the judge, can I do this? He just started using the money. He spent like $80,000 of the estate.
And he never got it. He got it. That's it. I mean,
he just started using the money. He didn't bother to ask. He just started using it.
Well, I mean, but he didn't bother to ask either because, and he still got to use it without any repercussions, it sounds like.
That's right. And the funny thing about it is that, you know, like we often talk about that the laws are written for the, for the judges and prosecutor to keep them in line. Well,
you mean, oh, right. So did your sister get, because the lawyer did that and took the $80,000, did your sister get the money that she wanted or not?
No, you see, what happened, she screwed herself because the judge, after she removed me as executor, then the judge...
How did she even remove you? I don't even understand how she can do that.
She can't. Well, she legally she did it, okay? But lawfully she couldn't do it because she didn't have jurisdiction, first of all. You know, because in order to evict somebody, they need to be violating the Anti-Eviction Act.
I don't see how she got you removed from being the executor.
Well, because my sister had made an allegation on against me, so that was...
Oh, I see.
But keep in mind, too, that is also not a reason, okay, because we had the case law to support us. And she didn't even do any hearings on this. She just went based on the fact that, oh, well, he has an allegation against him. Okay, we're not even going to have a hearing on this. We're just going to remove him.
Okay, so did she get any money?
Everybody got some money, but the
not what she was wanting.
But because they use so much money, wasting it. Because of course the administrator gets a fee. Plus they used the money from the estate to defend themselves in my federal civil rights lawsuit. So they used all that money, And they were just using money for all kinds of things. This is like 15 years ago now, you know?
Right.
But there is no statute of limitations on fraud, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this is. And I know what I need to do now is I need to go postal with regard to this. I need to start sending out emails and letters to, you know, all the media and stuff like that. Because if they can do it to me, they can do it to anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as my sister goes, she screwed herself. Because then what happened, they ended up removing my sister as executor, you know? And they did that without any reason, too. Even my own lawyer said, look, you know, not only did she have no reason to remove me as executor, she didn't have any reason, the judge didn't have any reason to remove my sister as co-executor. But she did it anyway and appointed the her hand-picked crony to administer the estate, in which he started milking. And he completely, see, I mean, you know, if you're the administrator of the estate, you have a fiduciary responsibility not to waste it. So, and that's exactly what he started doing. He started spending the estate money, you know, on all kinds of shit, including defending himself for my civil rights lawsuit. He should have said, no, thank you. I don't think, you know, that this is right that you appoint me. I mean, if this guy had any ethics, because there were other family members who could have qualified as executor, you know, but they didn't even give them that opportunity. She just said, no one. I'm not going to allow anyone else to be appointed executor. I'm just going to appoint this outside administrator, you know, my buddy here, the president of the Bar Association.
Wow.
Yeah, so my sister screwed herself by making this allegation. And the thing about it is, it took years to finally settle it. Because the reason why, what happened when I filed the civil rights lawsuit is they kept the estate in limbo. They took the property, sold it, and then put the proceeds into an escrow account until the finally, you know, when it was I appealed my conviction, which the conviction was actually a farce too. I wasn't allowed to present a defense. Even my trial lawyer was pathetic. You know, they ran over him like a Mack truck. They wouldn't even allow me to present a defense. And my appellate lawyer, I hired somebody else, was actually pretty good. And she raised that issue, you know. But the fact of the matter is that the prosecutor lied to the jury, okay, about what happened, you know. And they also kept out exculpatory evidence. I had tapes of my sister's messages threatening me. And they wouldn't allow that in, okay? And so they were able to portray her as this poor, put-upon co-executor who was being threatened by this mean old, you know, brother, you know?
Right.
So, long story short, and of course the judge was in cahoots 1,000% with the prosecutor. So they completely rigged the trial. And, you know, it should have been overturned on appeal. And we actually went to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court wouldn't take the case, but they have a record of all the issues that we raised on appeal. So not only that, we also appealed my removal as co-executor and the judge's appointment of the administrator and her refusal to allow anybody else to qualify as co-executor. So we got a really strong paper trail here of conspiracy and criminal activity.
Right.
And because there is no statute of limitations, I am going to eventually file a collateral attack on my removal and my conviction on these false criminal charges, because the prosecutor suborned perjury and my sister perjured herself because she's saying, oh, well, he threatened me. Well, she filed two other papers to have me, once you wanted to have me removed as executor. She said one at one paper that the I was in the bedroom, and then in her testimony at the Pablo Kors hearing, she said I was in, like, the living room, and then she goes to trial, and she said I was in the kitchen. You know, and the prosecutor knew about all this stuff because we gave it to him.
Well, see, here's what I've noticed about just my own experience of listening to my friends and some of the stuff they go through with people, family members, or whatever. The court definitely lets nut cases keep going because they make a ton of money. You know what I mean? The nut case person that makes all these claims, the court just goes for it. They don't really care if the person isn't really stable.
Well, here's the other really funny thing about this is that my sister, who made the allegation that I threatened to her, never even appealed before the grand jury. So they indicted me completely on hearsay.
Yeah, I know. They do the same thing. That's what I mean. That to me, they run on hearsay. I mean, to me.
I know.
You can say whatever, and people who make up all kinds of stuff about people, and they just go with it. They don't even care about investigating whether it's true or not because they don't really care whether it is or not. It's just going to make them some money.
Well, you know, it's not over till it's over. You know, a few years ago, I got hit by a truck, and I'm all good now. I broke my wrist, and I landed on my shoulder, so I had to have shoulder surgery. But we got a nice settlement out of it, and so I've got plenty of money to go after them when and if I'm ready. But I also want to see what's going to happen in Lydia's case and Jason's case, because they had false criminal charges filed against them. And so they're involved very
deeply. Who are they?
Lydia Raiden.
Oh, Raiden. Yeah.
And Jason Berg.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so they were involved in, you know, in filing papers in the Third Circuit, Jason in the Newark Federal Court. And basically by doing this is that court security assaulted them. Now, court security does not have the authority to arrest anyone, okay? What they're supposed to do is they're supposed to call the cops, okay, and mm-hmm. not even Homeland Security, because these jurisdictions are what they call proprietary, meaning that if a criminal act happens in or around the courthouse, they are supposed to notify the local police. They're not supposed to be going and arresting people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They can detain them, I think, to, you know, but they can't, you know, put handcuffs on them or anything like that. And if they decide to walk away, they cannot do anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They have to get somebody with authority. You know, these court security officers are basically rent-a-cops. They have no authority to be arresting anybody. They need to get somebody there, whether it's a marshal or a local cop, to arrest somebody. They cannot do it themselves.
Right.
And so not only did they do that, but they both got assaulted in the process.
Right.
And their case is, government's case is falling apart at the seams. So I wanted to see how that goes, because I might be able to pick up some information on how to go about my thing. Because I know one thing is that, like I said, my conviction is completely based on fraud, and so is my removal as executor. So, and there is no statute of limitations on fraud, and especially if the fraud involves judicial aspects, you know, and you know, like they say, you know, these laws are written, you know, so that the, you know, judges know what to do. They mm-hmm. can't make this shit up as they go along, but they do.
Well, they do.
I'm going to hold my feet to the fire. It's only a matter of time.
Right. Well, they do. So, all right. So, can we see if anybody else is? Are you kind of? Are you wound, or have you kind of wound down
Hello?
On that one? Can you hear me? Hello? Terry? Hello?
Hello, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, did you hear what I just said?
I didn't hear you stop talking.
No, okay, yeah. I should have said I yield or whatever.
Okay, I didn't hear you say that, but anyway.
You were there. Did you hear
okay, yeah, I heard you say that. So anyway, so I want to open it up to other people. I want to see if they have any cases for themselves or they're helping somebody. Anybody on here have any cases they're working on or helping somebody with?
Hello.
Hey, Crystal.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's happening with you?
Okay. Well, I filed because I was in an accident about two weeks ago. Everything's been going crazy in my life. But anyways, when I told you about how when I was going to the court about the illegal foreclosures, and I asked them for the sworn notarized affidavits and stuff, this has been going on now, from 2014, we're in 17, so it's the third year.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney, my case is coming up, and down there trying to sit there, the attorney contacted me and goes, well, you know, you're not going to get nothing from your case. We're going to have to take it all. I may not come up with nothing. Let me tell you something. You're all perpetrating the fraud, you and your so-called friends. I said, I am so sick and tired, and I'm done. You know? I said, I asked them for a sworn notarized affidavits. When did I take out a mortgage with them? I said, they sat there and they perpetrated the fraud, and they put their names on my deed, not my property. In 2011, I asked, can I see the sworn notarized affidavits? And he goes, oh, well, you're going to have to bring me in the title search so they can release the deed. I said, how can a deed be released if there's no mortgage or papers that I signed? There's nothing there. And he goes, well, that's just the way it is. I said, oh, okay. So when I filed the Form 56 and the Form 4490, I had amended that on my foreclosure. And so my case, and what I did was for the bankruptcy, I put every single attorney on there. And my and GE, I put them all on there. The judge discharged the whole thing. So now what they were doing, they were sending the paperwork back stating that they did not receive it or no such address. So I said, okay. And they've been back and forth this same little game. So I said, how foolish of me. What I did, I faxed to all of them. Now they can't say they didn't receive it. I got the confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll put that and I'll amend that. One of the companies put a $15,000 lien on my property. And I said, wait a second. It was discharged. And I said, and you're nothing but the debt collector. And I said, well, I need to sit there and contact the media about this. So they said, well, we'll take care of it. They removed it. And so when I went to get the release form, they told me I had to pay the $53 or whatever. And I said, for what? I said, I'm not paying nothing. You put the charge on it. And I said, why are you charging me $53? Well, some goes to the state, the attorneys, and I think it was actually like $10. So I said, I got to pay an extra $53 for what? So I said, I'm not paying it. So I contacted the firm that sat there and put the lien on my property. And they said, well, that's up to you. We're not going to pay that. I said, oh, really? So let me contact the media about this right away, how you've been perpetrating the fraud. So they said, we'll take care of it. They called me back and they said, we'll send it in. So I've been calling every week, and I went up there. Was it last? 1, 2, 3. Because this was 3 weeks ago. And they said, let me follow up the paper trail to make sure it's done. They go, we never received nothing. So I kind of, they did, the other law company did send it, but I think the people in the clerk's office disposed of it. So I called back again on Friday. I called them. I said, look, somebody's playing games here. But again, they said they never received it. So, you know, I was cordial and very nice about it. They said, no, we did send it. We'll send you the copy of the number and all that. So they sent it Monday. I contacted them today. They received it. So everything is clear and everything is in my name. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go back to court on the 28th or whatever. So the only thing I'm going to be doing is, you know, put in, you know, to give myself the life use and maybe like I'm going to change it because I can do it because everything is solid in my name. And then I'm going to, and then as a matter of fact, I got another letter from the court stating that, what do you mean by proof of claim in the form 456? So I'm going to amend everything along with the deed as soon as I take care of that.
Good.
You know?
They don't know what proof of claim is?
Well, I guess they're trying to see if I know what it is.
Oh, right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
I put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I guess they will basically try to backpedal, so I got to go back to the federal court, and hopefully, and I'm going to make sure I bring people along with me, you know. Because
good.
Well,
you already have people that you know you're going to bring. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's different ones because it was ever available. You know, so
well,
I try.
You know to fill out a form to get, so I can send out a notice, right?
I'm sorry?
You know to fill out a courtroom observer request form so that I can send out a notice.
No.
You don't?
You have my number, right?
Well, here, let me show you. Can you go to the, are you online at all?
I don't have a computer, no.
Oh, that's why. Oh, okay, see.
Okay. You have my number.
No, I don't. Let's see. Anything or,
I can.
How about you have my number?
okay.
And so what you can do is call me. And my number
okay,
is
okay. Give me. Hold, go ahead.
Okay.
Mhm.
206.
Mhm.
765.
Mhm.
8996.
Okay, and I'm also trying to. I'm going to be meeting with. Excuse me. I'm going to be meeting with a group of parents and teachers, so we're going to try to get this as a work experience program.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
What?
That's cool.
Oh, as a work experience program, and I'm trying to get the parents and all them involved, and I'm going to be meeting, what's it? This week, Saturday. I have a meeting tomorrow, so at,
mm-hmm.
Tomorrow and Saturday.
Okay,
and
so I just want to say, if I don't answer the phone, all I need for you to do is to tell me, well, it's probably better if we talk, but
okay.
What I'll do is I'll get, you know, all the information about your case and the date and the time and the address and everything, and then I'll just send out a short notice to people.
Okay, great.
Because I did that for Walt. He doesn't have a computer or anything like that, and hold on a second, let me get this noise off of here. He called me after it was done, and because I sent out a notice for him the same way. He doesn't have a computer or whatever, and he thanked me. He said 7 people called him. And 4 people showed up in court with him from NLA. And he said it worked really well for him.
Okay, great. That is so great. What was I going to say? Yeah, but I'm going to definitely try to get the high schools and the parents, you know. And then I said,
good.
Wait a second. Because I said the kids are going to be coming out of school. What is this? Next month for
mm-hmm.
a week. So I said, you know, and I'm trying, if I can get like 10 or even if I can get 10 parents or kids, you know, so I said that will be our work experience project going to the end of course with our pens and pads. So I'm going to go to the dollar store and get the pads because they got them for a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be their homework assignment. So when they go, you know.
Yeah.
Just to get them writing. And so I'm going to try to work on another thing, too. I'm talking to the principals and superintendent. I said, let's get the vocabulary words built up. Because so this then the kids, when they're talking, you know, pick out keywords so you can start getting in tune with what they're saying, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, especially with attorneys, terminology, doctors' terminology, accountants, everybody has their own language. So start getting familiar with some of the words, you know, and making learning fun.
That's nice. Thank you.
Okay.
mm-hmm.
Because we just got to bring it to their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And their minds are sponges and they want to learn. And, you know, we're going to do different things with work experience, but that's going to be one of the main things. So I said, that's perfect, you know, because I'm trying to put things together, giving these kids, because a lot of them, what's the problem? We don't have no jobs. They're not learning in school. It's just bogus what they've been teaching the kids, you know what I'm saying?
mm-hmm.
But I said the history, excuse me, and with all the mess going on, in the world today, everybody's paying attention,
right?
You know, and especially when little Donald brought the sheriff to the court down to Washington last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I said, "Wow, look at how vain and arrogant!" But the people aren't picking it up. Like, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know. So clearly,
right.
He's not running his mouth for no reason. I mean, he's doing a lot of crazy illegal stuff himself, but in other words,
yeah, he is, and he really went off on the imminent. I mean, the asset forfeiture crap. I mean, that's what we were really irritated with is that he doesn't understand what that is and the abuse of what the sheriffs did to people by, you know, planting stuff on them and exaggerating stuff and taking all their possessions and their money and their everything, you know, and
it's horrible.
I know, and he was just going. He sounded really like, oh, the bad guys. You know, it's the bad guys, right?
Well, like, well, wait a minute. What about that Russian ship that's up in our state now? You heard about that, right?
What now?
Did you see the news today about? It was this morning. They said a ship from Russia was in Delaware.
Nope.
Well, now it's in our state.
But is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it. It's off of Connecticut now.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's the reason for it?
How the hell did it get in our state? And they said they can spy and everything else.
Well, there's a 15-mile limit. They're outside of that. So any ship from anywhere can go within 15 miles of any land.
From Russia?
Sure.
Any country.
And they're right at the Navy base up in Groton, Connecticut, New London.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, and nobody has a reason for it.
No.
Well, the Russians have a reason for it. They
right.
Get,
but I mean,
yeah, but I'm just saying that was unheard of. I remember when I was a kid when I guess with Kennedy and all that, when they wanted to nuke, you know what I'm saying? We
yeah.
couldn't go outside their water territory. And I didn't even realize that Russia had owned Alaska.
What?
Says they own Alaska.
They did own Alaska. Russia.
Oh, they did. Oh,
but we
oh, they did. No, I was like, okay,
I think
what?
They were, I thought they were leasing it from them.
No, no, we
you
bought
know, because they had no use, Russia had no use for it. That's when that crazy Sarah Palin, when she made that remark, she could see Russia from her house.
Well,
yeah.
The only, well, the only thing is that Russia, I mean, I'm sorry, Alaska and Hawaii were taken illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. They weren't supposed to be sold to anybody. They were sovereign.
But God gave us all of our land free. So where did me I sit there and, you know, it's just horrible and inhumane how people are being treated. When I saw what they were doing in North Dakota, that's horrible. And also, and then what is that place? Oh, God, what is it called? Venezuela?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was watching the news. I brought tears to my eyes. This is horrible. This is so horrible and deplorable all over the world. And what's going on here? These nuts are so filthy rich. They will never have, they can never spend what they spend. Minimum wage in 2017 supposed to be $49.50. In 1977, 78, the homes are going for $46,049. Minimum wage was approximately, $8 to $10. How are you going to bring back the minimum wage back to the 70s? This is 2017. The cost of living goes up, not down. You know, we were born at night, wasn't born last night. You know, and it's just crazy how people are being fooled and blindsided, you know, because they're all a bunch of liars, whether they're Democratic, Republican, or whatever the case is. It wasn't for the people's off for their own personal things. But I said, now people are finally waking up, and I'm so glad to learn about the National Liberty Alliance and the things that we've been learning. It's been, you know, it's so refreshing, you know, because it's about the people helping people.
All right. So, Crystal, let me ask if somebody else wants to share what's going on with them or if they're helping anybody. So let me get this. Something's really crashing on here. Hold on. Okay. Anybody got anything to share about if they have a case or anybody they're helping?
I have a case, and
hi.
I just want to thank the NLA, and I forgot his name. I'm not even sure if I knew it. He gave me a piece of advice a couple of weeks ago, and he said, write an affidavit to your sheriff. And so today I did return receipt requested, and I just want to read the five topics that went into my affidavit. The first one is fraud on the court created by the unlawful guardianship. The second is Easter Seals abused their role of guardianship at Heritage Rehabilitation by instituting verbal restrictions, intentionally missing Dr. Jablonski's required checkup appointment, and not moving Louise out of her room after the sewer gas leak. The third is Easter Seals guardianship kidnaps Louise Zahn. The fourth is guardianship conspiracy against Louise and Marla Zahn's right, creating corporate cruelty for cash. And the fifth is Easter Seals guardianship conspirators attempt to make the kidnapping of Louise Zahn appear legal and involved others to cover up the kidnapping with more fraud on the court. And I'm asking Sheriff Clark for a grand jury investigation, and then I put / common law grand jury investigation. And Sheriff Clark is probably the best-known constitutional sheriff of all of them. He's got his own radio talk show program. He's been a sheriff, I don't know, he's 50-some years old. He's smart, magna cum laude out of Marquette Law School, and he makes the news all the time. So now we're going to see what happens to my case.
Good.
I can tell you what happened with, I wrote a writ of habeas corpus, and I did so with the NLA, but it fell by the wayside. Mine was in the top 10 to be sent out, but it never was. And
no.
Yeah. And that's a shame because my mother is kidnapped in the nursing home and she's 104. And I just can't wait for the NLA to, you know, begin its program again. So I filed the writ of habeas corpus, I had to pay $5 for the filing of it, and the clerk of courts messed up the petitioner and et cetera, et cetera. And she said, Louise Zahn, that's my mother, is the person who filed the writ of habeas corpus. Obviously, that information gets sent to the nursing home, and who gets it from the nursing home but nothing but the kidnappers themselves who are the guardianship, Easter Seals. And then the judge makes this ruling on the docket that tells them to appear in court. I mean, you're telling the kidnappers to appear in court with their lawyer. I mean, this is just crazy. This is insane. And yeah. I wrote a letter to try and clear it up. It didn't work. Then I called when I didn't get a response to my letter. And the lady told me to file a motion. And I said to her, what for? What do I call the motion? You don't file a motion. This is the clerk's screw-up. You don't file a motion for having the judge to do something to what review the case. There was no case. You know, and I explained it to her that I kind of said, do you know what you just did? You know, these are the kidnappers, and you just told them that they need to appear in court with Louise's lawyer for kidnapping when you're the one who did it.
Well, they're all working together.
Oh, my God. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, my jaw just hung open. And then the woman at the other end of the line, she said to me, okay, you don't need to file a motion. You write down our conversation, and you address the letter to me, Brenda. And I said, fine, I will do that. And she felt really badly because I said what they did was, you know, they made me homeless. They threw me out of my house.
Did you get their juror's number?
Did I get the juror's number?
Yeah, no. Whenever you go to court, this is what I've been doing to each and every one of them. I get the juror's number. See, attorneys don't even have a license. They have a juror's number. You know, like when they're a doctor,
I haven't
teacher.
Gone to court with an attorney.
All right, now, but I'm just saying.
I'm in a pro se situation where I am. I'm going to go to court tomorrow.
Who is the ones who kidnapped your... There had to be an attorney involved who kidnapped your mother.
Why?
Excuse me?
Why does there have to be an attorney involved?
I said, the Easter Seal or somebody kidnapped your mother, right?
Correct. Easter Seal kidnapped my mother.
Easter
Correct.
Seal has an attorney. They all have attorneys. Who
yeah.
was their attorney that signed off on their paper, on your mother's paper? Who
okay.
was the attorney? The it question
doesn't,
I'm asking.
It doesn't work like that. Okay. First off, in order to do fraud on the court, there was a guardian ad litem who wrote a report that was fraudulent. They said that in order for my mother to have a guardianship, she would not have had to have had a power of attorney for finances, health care, will, trust, joint bank account. But she had all those documents.
Mm-hmm.
And the court records prove that she had all those documents because my sister was suing my mother for incompetence and stated such that she's got all of her documents in order. But the guardian ad litem lied and said that she didn't. All right, that's fraud on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And when you commit fraud on the court, whatever judge makes a decision, that decision becomes null and void.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's an illegal guardianship to begin with. But this illegal guardianship, When my sister was suing my mother, I got an attorney for my mother because my mother's got a report of competency, et cetera, et cetera. But who did I get for an attorney for my mother? Nonetheless, her name is Janet Resnick, who happens to be the attorney for Easter Seals, including the attorney for my mother.
That's conflict of interest.
Yes, okay. And we took that all the way up to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin and won. And she has a conflict of interest on her, but it didn't do any good. It didn't get my mother out. All the damage had been done. It didn't reverse the guardianship and set to say it's null and void.
I hear what you're saying. The point I was making... maybe I make myself clear, is that attorney who sat there with the conflict of interest, number one, definitely, I don't care who you're dealing with, on any attorneys and judges, get their juris number, okay? I had written up several grievances, and I got all my grievances papers together on each one of the attorneys that tried to put me in false illegal foreclosure. When I filed even all my papers, I put all their juris numbers. They do not like that at all. You know?
Okay. Why would she have a juris number?
The attorneys, ma'am, have the juris number.
Why would she have a juris number? I missed the point.
The point I'm saying to you, whatever attorney, whoever's involved with your mother's case, that's their ID and their supposed license number. And when you sit there like, why do you want my juris number? Because I'm always dealing with
Are you saying that's the bar number?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, a doctor has a license number, a teacher has a license number, you know, that they're legit and stuff like that. The attorneys don't have a license. Theirs is a juris number.
Fine. It's a bar number in the state of Wisconsin, and they print it all over everything. It's not a secret.
No, but I'm just saying, when you ask for that, so you got to write even a grievance on them. You know, it's their paper trail.
Oh, okay.
It's their paper trail, you know.
Okay.
And when I do, when I ask for their... when they supposedly said, well, we're in court for this and that, and I said, am I a public servant of this court? And the judge said, no. I said, is this my grand jury? And I turned around and looked at my audience and the people that I brought. They didn't know who they were. And he said, no, I'm the grand jury. So I said to the judge, well, you just committed treason, and I would like your resignation. And he told me to get the hell out of his court.
See, I wouldn't have the guts to do that.
And
it's because I don't know the law well enough.
They're all committing a treason, and when I ask for a sworn, notarized affidavit from the attorneys, and I said, and here's my deed, so all my paperwork is totally clear now. And I'm going to get all that stuff taken care of. And I want the sworn notarized affidavits. And also I got my transcript, you know, because everything that was in the courts back in the December, whatever year it was, you know, it's right there in the transcript. You know, I asked them again. So when I go back and I'm going to federal court, I've asked them for the transcript. So I'm going to make the copies and amend that with it. And all the attorneys, you know. So the federal judge, which they were battling it back and forth. She seemed like she had some sense, like she didn't want no parts of it. And she was like, I've been getting a lot of cases where they were doing illegal stuff, whatever the case is. And she reprimanded the supposed trustee they put over me. And I didn't quite understand, but she gave him the riot act, and then he wanted to see what statute it came under. She got right off her bench, went into the back. She goes, and here it goes. So she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. You know? She goes, but I am going to discharge his whole case. And he was just, you know. But, so I go back on the 28th.
Okay, Crystal, I just want to clarify to Marie. Is that her name? Marie?
Huh? Marla.
I mean Marla. About the thing about when she said you've committed treason, what I think what she was referring to is he was practicing law from the bench, which he's not supposed to. Right? Isn't that right, Crystal?
What's that?
When you said that he was your grand jury, that he was practicing law from the bench, and that meant he was committing treason? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, the judge committed treason because he said he was the judge, the jury, and there is no juries in the courtroom.
Right.
You know? And when I asked for the, and he goes, why are you here? I said, that's what I would like to know. I said, they perpetrated a fraud, and they put their names and dates on my property. I asked them for a sworn, notarized affidavit. When did I said, there's no records or nothing. And so the crazy attorney, she's like, Your Honor, she's turning all red in the face. I said, can I please have a sworn, notarized affidavit from you when I purchased my property from you? And I said, the way you just put it, your name on my property, November 2014. I said, when did I come and take out a mortgage with you? And who signed my name? Can I please have a sworn notarized affidavit? Because somebody's perpetrating a fraud. By the way, I used to do this work. You know? And their names, nothing appeared on it.
Right.
And she was like, Your Honor. You're right. They were talking, you know. He goes, don't worry about it. This is my court. And then he goes, we're taking your property.
We don't care. They basically saying, we don't care if you have proof of this and that, or we don't have proof of this and that. We're taking it.
Yeah, and this has been going on since 2014. Yeah. And the ironic thing, the so-called attorney who's supposed to be representing me, he was shocked last month. He goes, you mean you're still in your house? I said, Satan's powerful, Jesus mighty, Jehovah's almighty. You know?
To make the point even more clear, there were three judges involved in my mother's case.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wisconsin, I can write to the commission, and I can file complaints against the three judges. And I did. And I told them what they did and what they did wrong, that kind of thing. I got a letter back. They told me it was criminal behavior, and this commission deals with ethics. And they're not going to prosecute any judge for criminal behavior. They acknowledged the criminal behavior.
Wow.
What? They acknowledged it. Hold on one second.
They acknowledged it, but would do nothing about it.
Okay, hold on one second.
And so I started looking up how to sue a judge. You know, because you can. But the problem, see, this is U.S. statute, I think it's 421, 18 U.S.C. 421.
Rule
I think
seven.
It says that in there, it says something like, you have to have another judge to, I want to say testify, I'm not sure that that's the right word, against the judge.
Another judge.
Yeah.
Oh,
like a
right.
doctor. But
and so it makes that, what they were saying when I was reading it, was that it makes that statute pretty much worthless.
You're right.
And so when I was writing to Sheriff Clark about that, that was one of the reasons I did common law grand jury, because in a common law situation, you're going to have 25 jurors decide your fate.
22,656.
What?
Terry?
I thought I was muted.
Oh.
You're going to have 25 jurors decide the fate in a common law situation.
Right.
Whereas you're not going to have a judge ratting out, so to speak, on another judge. You know,
right,
he's not going to do it. Okay. So that was in my plea for a grand jury investigation of Sheriff Clark. I did the slash, and I explained it in a footnote why I wanted that.
Okay. One other thing today, too, I forgot to mention to you. Everybody here is contacting Congress. I don't care whether it's Republican, Democrat. You can contact them all. And I'm trying to get you the number. And you could call, and all these complaints that are going on, because they all received the letter from the National Liberty Alliance. I think the number here for the Capitol, and they will connect you to all the people that represent you in your state and get them on board. As a matter of fact, it's best to tell both parties at this point, because right now, with all the chaos going on, people are listening. Okay? The number in Washington, and they will connect you to your local officials in the surrounding states. I think, what is it? It's 202-225-5541. I think that's the number to the Capitol for your state representatives and senators and Congress. And that's in Washington.
And why should we care about that? I mean, I've already written.
Because
they
all got the letters from National Liberty Alliance on what's been the injustice. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so now,
right,
now these crazy politicians, for the first time, with all this chaos going on, they want to hear from the people, because with all the people protesting.
So are you saying what we should do is call them and say, did you read the letter?
That's what I'm talking about, because they know about it.
Okay.
I mean, whatever. I'm just saying, you know, because we're all going through the same thing, and it's all 50 states, and they all received it, because Don had sent them all out. So they know exactly what's going on. And so the more that people call their local officials, and from the mayor, the governor's office, whomever, you know, it's applying that pressure on them too.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay.
You know, and what are the issues? The illegal foreclosures, the Social Security, the minimum wage, they're kidnapping the kids, they're kidnapping our seniors. You know, there's a lot of issues. But write down your 5 issues and give it to them. Give that number to all your friends, family, and everybody. Everybody start packing it in with those. And if we can stick with 5 or 6 main issues, what's going on?
Right.
And today,
I don't know. That's only my suggestion. I'm not, you know, just check with John, you know, but I'm just saying.
So what were you saying, Marla?
Today there was a kidnapping. I don't know if it's a kidnapping. I think they did say that, though, when I read that article, about, see, what the conservatorship or guardianships do is they isolate the member that they put into the nursing home. And
right,
what they did was they took this man and they isolated the wife and won't let the wife see her husband. And that's out on the YouTube today for the first time.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening here.
Right. I read an article recently. I sent it in to probably the wrong person. I'm trying to help with put the news up on the blog that applies. And anyway, last week I read this article where this couple knew. They went in to have a baby in November, and I don't know what hospital or what state this was in, but they knew if they didn't name their baby, they didn't have to have a Social Security. They didn't have to give it assign a Social Security number that goes to the Commerce Department. So, and they signed all these papers to make sure they didn't vaccinate their baby either, and the hospital kidnapped their baby and vaccinated it and won't give it back.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's really nuts. They are just completely insane.
Right. That's why you have to go back to doing home births.
Yes, that's right.
I was his assistant with, there were three women who helped deliver my girlfriend's baby because she didn't want the child to be vaccinated. But she did, and this was in Canada, but they've got the same rules and regs regarding vaccines. And then she took the child in to record it, you know, however that works there. And they wanted to give her a vitamin K shot. And that vitamin K shot is for, like, stopping the bleeding. And she looked at him, and she said, "Are you crazy? This is all over with and done. I don't need that." So they were even going to do that to mom, not only the child, but to mom. I mean,
right.
You want to talk about your rights being violated? Oh, my goodness sakes.
I know, because I had my mom in the hospital recently. She fell, and she's 91, and anyway, her blood is kind of thin because she likes her martinis. Anyway, but I have her on all this other health stuff, and she's pretty healthy otherwise. I mean, she's not on medications and stuff. And one of the things I had a problem with when she fell was trying to get the bleeding to stop because her blood is a little thin from the alcohol. And they just automatically are going to give her a blood thinner right away. And I'm like, no, she doesn't need that. I mean, you know, it's like little robots. They just do this stuff. And we just kept going, no, don't give me that. Don't give me that. I don't need that.
Right, exactly.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
They
try to put all that mess on me, too. When I got sick right after my brother and sister died, and I started hemorrhaging, I was in the hospital. They wanted to give me, I told them I was allergic to, you know, certain iodines and all that other stuff, and then they wanted to give me I said, no, for what? Because they said, we're checking for a blood clot. You don't have to go through all that. I said, that's all you got to do is, what is that scan? What is it called? Where they put the gel on your legs.
Oh, what?
It's not a sonogram. What is it called?
Oh, you mean an ultrasound.
An ultrasound, exactly. They kept me there. Then they tried to give me some of the crazy medicine. Then they wanted to give me some Coumadin. I said, for what? No.
I know. It's like a robot.
Right.
They just
automatically
do the same thing for everybody.
Three pills they gave me, aspirins, and they wanted to get, I said, and they put me up like an IV. I said, well, that's all you have to do is give me that, what is it called again, sonogram? No.
No, ultrasound.
On the ultrasound. They kept me there for 8-9 hours, and they go, well, I have to keep, and then they send me home. I mean, this was crazy. For three aspirins, I could have taken that and stayed home.
Really? Anyway, it's 10 o'clock, and this was a really good call. I want to thank everybody for participating, and I'm going to stop the recording.